Hello, everyone, and welcome back to part two of Get Up, Stand Up. It is your favorite podcasters and favorite podcast in the entire world. It is Grey's Academy. My name is Carmen. Her name is Kelsey. It's beautiful. Everything is amazing, except in other parts of the world because of most of the things that we have done because we're terrible. Not us. We is the, you know, what's that? The capital we or the, what's it called?
The royal we.
The royal we. And I actually don't even want to use the word royal because, you know, yeah. Our leaders suck, but.
Those other guys.
The other guys. The butthole we. Anyways, we're back. Hello, part two. This is us. Kelsey, take it away.
Thank you so much. What a delightful intro. All right. And we are so glad you guys are here. And we appreciate you. And we love you all. And we hope you're having a great day. If it's Thursday when we drop this, happy Thursday. If it's literally any other day where you are when you're listening to this, I just hope it's good. I hope the weather is whatever kind of weather is your favorite kind of weather. And I hope that you get yourself a little treat. And if you were thinking, I want a little treat, but I don't deserve it. You do deserve it. Everything is garbage.
Hell yeah.
And you deserve a little treat. It's not going to end the world to get a little treat. Go get yourself a little treat.
If I could buy you one myself, I would,
but I cannot.
If you've already had a treat today, get a second treat.
Or stop feeling bad about the first treat.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it. Everything is
get
garbage.
A Dole Whip.
Enjoy a treat. Anyways.
I'm with you. That was great advice. That's sage. Sage wisdom.
I think we will start this episode with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Chondaland.
Living in Chondaland. Go get that fucking treat.
Hell yeah, motherfucker. In this episode, we have two people.
Let's see. The dad.
Ner.
I don't have notes to refer back to. Is it any of the guys from that board meeting? That, like,
yes.
Brain meeting?
The main guy.
How many did you say we had?
Two.
The guy. Oh, okay. So that's one, that guy. And then, the guy who has a stroke. The guy who loses his voice and has a stroke.
No.
The wife of the guy who has a stroke and loses his voice.
Yes.
Okay.
That is it. Congratulations. Okay. So, Elena Phelan plays Karen. She's in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. And then Jane plays Tim, and he was in one episode of Scandal. So there you go.
Oh, I love it. I have a couple things that I need to talk about. One with Living in Chondaland, one with the wedding that I forgot. I'm going to start with the wedding.
Okay.
I loved that Matthew's bride of honor, woman of honor.
Oh, yeah. I wrote that down too. Nicole.
The lady of the, yeah, the, mm-hmm.
The paramedic, ambulance his paramedic lady. Partner.
That was so cool. And I'm like,
yeah, I like that as well.
He looked so tall compared to the rest of them. I was like, is he staying
with
children?
Well, I think they're
up
on a platform. I think it was like a couple stairs up to the platform.
Yeah. Second, on Living in Chondaland, I'm fairly certain that the guy who had the stroke is a bad guy in an episode of Psych.
Okay.
Can you do this safely for me so I don't go into IMDb? Can you go to IMDb for this episode and go to that guy?
Mm-hmm. I can do that. I could have done this not on air, but I can also do it on air.
No, it's okay. It's okay. For those of you who are watching Psych, I can't spoil it because this is the next one that we're going to watch. Never mind.
He's a bad guy.
It's okay. In 8 years when we get there. It's all right.
Hey,
at this rate.
If they stop making the show, they could just keep making the show and then we'll never run out of content.
That is the dream.
He is in one episode of Psych.
Yes. Okay. Can you click on that? Does it tell him, like, if you click on him for that episode, does it tell you the episode?
Yeah. Lassie did a bad, bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that. I know that's the episode. Yep. Uh-huh. What's the guy's name? What's it?
Drimmer.
Drimmer. Yeah. Yep. He's the bad guy in that episode.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. I could tell you the entire plot of that episode. I've seen Psych. I've seen Psych for me. Is for sure Grey's for you.
Yeah.
I cannot wait until we do this. This is going to be great. Anyways, okay. Also, can I tell you guys, the bullying about Private Practice has incepted my dreams because I had a dream where I was watching Private Practice and then someone yelled at me life, because though. I know. Okay. All right. Well. Anyways, honestly, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. I think what actually is like is
kind of important. We need to speed run some of it. We got some other stuff going on.
We're going to be calling back to Private Practice?
Yeah.
The show has been long gone in Gray's world, right?
Mm-mm. It's still on. No.
Private Practice?
It ended in season 9, I think, of Gray's. I think the last season was season 9 of Gray's. It just matters.
Oh. Okay. All right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Okay. All right. What do you want to start with?
Shane, I guess. Oh my God.
Shane. Yeah. Leah in this episode, it's just redundant for me to keep saying what I've been saying the past several episodes. I don't like the way they're writing her just because it's drawing a larger picture of issues at hand with the way women are written when they are rejected, and it pisses me off. But she crashes out a lot in this episode, but she finally fucking realizes that she's doing it, and she's like, this is insane. I'm gonna get it together. I'm not gonna do it. But I also like what she does in the beginning with Bailey when she like stands up for herself and she's like, my career, my education is suffering. I do think she was right to do that. She did it poorly, could have said it differently. Anyways,
Bailey
all
was
that
ready
to say,
smoke her.
All that to say, she ends up staying, not going to the wedding. So her and Shane are there. Throughout the episode,
on that topic, I love, and I am in real time, I'm realizing, I love that she's like, it would be absurd of me to go to the wedding and stand up and say something. Crazy. Yes. Insane. Yes. Why would I do that? And hugs Joe. Meanwhile,
Jackson is like, you know what I should do? Well, I will say,
Mark Sloan basically told me to ruin April's wedding.
It is worse what Jackson does, but Leah's is worse in a different way because she would be doing it not even about the people getting married. Like, that is so far not the time and place. Jackson's is worse, but Leah's is bad. Thankfully, she doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, so Leah and Shane.
So
what
on this topic?
Now?
I have a question. I have a question for you. I have a question for you. Damn. What are your thoughts on people proposing at weddings?
That's
a hard no as well, right?
I think it's fine if it's been discussed with the couple getting married beforehand. There are plenty of times when you see it where like they go to do the bouquet toss and the girl just turns on and hands it to like someone who's there, and then the guy proposes. It's clearly been discussed. It's been cleared.
Good point.
I do think you shouldn't ask to do it. If the bride and groom, or the couple that's getting married, rather, if they know that someone else is kind of in that season of life and they offer it, I don't think you should ask.
It's a good call.
That's my opinion. And I think you should respect it if they say no.
You now.
It's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a valid question. Also, though, only at reception, right? Okay, not during the wedding ceremony.
Yes, that's a fair call out. Yeah.
That's just to clarify my stance. I have not had a wedding where that's occurred. But
yet.
It's fine. So Shane has been, throughout the entirety of the episode, behaving erratically. He is taking over speaking for Christina. Again, walking around with a sense of entitlement, not backed by any levels of experience. Christina calls him out on it. She's like, you're going to burn yourself out. You are doing too much. You are going too hard. And he's like, don't you think we should just have sex? And she's like, no, actually, I do not think that. I think you should stop. And so kind of get a little back and forth on that. She says, how are you not at your hours already? And he's like, oh, it's so not been that many hours, which you kind of like don't think of. You're like, okay, so she just doesn't realize it. And then later on, come to find out, he reveals he's been going in and manually changing his hours so he can work more. They max out at 80 which means he is going over 80. These shifts are not 8-hour shifts. These shifts are insane. You are likely not getting sleep. So he is sleep deprived. They show him multiple times with energy drinks. So we know he is sleep deprived. We know he is on some kind of weird emotional journey, mental journey, that does finally tie back into the Heather of it all. He also obviously is acting, the arrogance kind of comes to a head when he's like, I can just do this. And if we don't do it, then this man will die and it will be everyone else's fault for not doing what I say. Again, doesn't really have the authority nor the experience to back up these words. Goes in. It is, of course, Jimmy. Things take a turn. Of course, because of drama, no one is there at the hospital. Everyone's at the wedding. Thankfully, Richard is there because he wanted to scrub back in for the first time when no one else was there to kind of just ease himself back into it. So thankfully, he is there. Leah leaves the surgery because things are going to hell. Shane is like screaming at people. He starts saying,
yelling at Boki, yeah, which is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. Unacceptable. Absolutely not.
And she makes her opinion known with the words in her eyes.
Oh, yeah. And he starts saying, this is my fault. She's going to die. All this stuff. I can't help her. Leah's like trying to talk him back down. He's not having it. So she leaves. She runs out. She finds Richard. She brings him in. I think the way they show Richard handling this is incredible. I think it's truly such a good portrayal of someone kind of coming into what I would describe potentially incorrectly as like a manic episode. I would say Richard broaches it. Like, he reads the room instantly. He doesn't like freak out on Shane. He doesn't escalate. Like, he de-escalates so well that you're like, to me, it kind of ties back into everything that was going on with Adele when she was like in and out of lucidity and not really aware, and just like the ability to kind of reground somebody in the current reality. And I could be wrong. Obviously, I'm not a therapist or a psychiatrist or what have you. But I think it's written and done really, really well. The way that he comes in and is able to like calm Shane down enough to be able to get him out of that situation so he can take over and work on Jimmy.
Yeah, it's a great call out. I didn't even think about the Adele and the Lucid situation. And it's... the second he said her the first time, I think I was like, did I mishear that? And when he said it the second time, I was like, oh, okay, he thinks this is Heather. Like, he's projecting.
Yeah. And then they start to show flashbacks. He even says, yep, I sent her to the basement. Like, they are tying it back in, which it's been 2 or 3 episodes since we've had any amount of, like reference to this. So it is interesting for, you know, again, 12 episodes into the season for this to now be getting called. I understand for the drama of it being like this, the mid-season finale, and like, of course it has to culminate and like that being has to specifically be this patient because this patient is Alex's dad and it has to be now because now Richard's finally back and all this stuff. Like, from a writing standpoint and like plot device, I get it. It just, from like a timing, it feels long. Like, it feels like a long time separated from the initial event. But it is like,
well,
obviously a very impactful event for him. I don't know. I just kind of like, I'm going back and forth on it.
I guess where my head is at on this particular topic of the timing specifically, I'll talk about the timing specifically, is they've done a good job at writing the decline of Shane and his mental state around Heather, because you get kind of these glimpses. You get this, like, I remember, so okay, the first thing with the mudslide, right? He goes back out and he's like, all right, we're his people, we're gonna go do it. And then there is this erratic behavior of becoming a shark. There's this ego trip. There's this these things that like he's letting all of these not Shane-esque tendencies, because even Meredith calls it out. Like the guy blushes at the sight of an ankle, and you walk in and you're in your underwear, and he doesn't bat an eye. Like, how long have you two been fucking each other? And I don't want to say that that's a bad, like having sex in the workplace is when consensual, obviously there's a power dynamic. Okay. We got to call that out for sure. It's not good, but it's consensual, but it's, I think back to the way they wrote Shane's character. It's like, imagine George all of a sudden being this, like it's like Spider-Man 3. It's like Peter Parker is being, it's like he's being emo Peter Parker right now. And it's just not good. So I think the way they wrote kind of this gradual decline in, I don't want to say moral compass is not the right word, because we don't really know enough about him to know his morals in general, but you can tell how the effect post Heather's death has weighed on him in different ways, and it's changed and altered his personality along the way. He's kind of ups and downs, et cetera, whether it's with Christina or otherwise. But yeah, it's crazy. And then I think he hits Leah's hands away from something at one point. He yells, they're like, Paige Russell, which I forget Russell's around even.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, we got it. You don't got it. What was the one thing where him and Steph, they were doing the OR, and he's like, we could be legends. We could do this. Like, we're going to be sharks today.
God, where was everybody you that know? Time?
Like, so there's
remember.
Definitely this.
They were at leaving. That gala. That's when they were at the gala.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot. The gala.
The gala.
So, yeah, so I don't know. It's just it's interesting to see what's happening, and the way, my gosh, the way they wrote that dude walking across into the elevator, and it's just blood dripping everywhere, and he's got his gloves on still.
You know what that reminds me of? That's back to when Christina was covering for Burke, and she runs down the hallway covered in blood to tell Richard that Burke's been operating with a bad hand.
I don't remember that.
Same shit. Same shit, different day. Also, I do kind of want, this is probably unnecessary, but I'm going to say it anyways. When we talk about consensual sex and we talk about sexual harassment in the workplace, I feel like consent gets murky when there's a weird power dynamic. I think
fair, totally fair. Yeah, yeah.
I just want, because I was pretty confident you would agree with that. So I just wanted to clarify before anyone questions it that I would say in that scenario, you can't really have true informed consent when someone has a power dynamic like that. It's just a bummer.
Let me be clear. When I say consent, even with the power dynamic, in this case, it's not. Christina isn't initiating it by saying, I'm going to fire you if you don't have sex with me. Right.
But the issue arises of if someone says like, oh, would you be interested? If the other person doesn't feel like they can safely say no without potentially facing. Right. So it's even they're not saying like, well, if you don't, I'm going to fire you. It's like the thought in the back of your mind. Well, what if I say no? And then, you know, my career, my education, whatever it be, may suffer.
It's because of the implication.
It's bad.
Have you seen that episode of Always Sunny? Have you seen that scene?
I don't think so.
There's this scene where I think it's Mac and Dennis, and they get a boat, and he's like, yeah, we're going to take girls out on the boat, and then we're going to go and, you know, we'll have a bedroom underneath, and we'll take them downstairs to have sex with them. And like, they won't say no because of the implication. And I forget which one says it, but basically Mac or Dennis is like, well, what do you mean implication? He's like, well, you know, if things go wrong, because we're going to be on the ocean and we're on a boat. And he's like, I don't understand. Are you saying we're going to murder these women? He's like, no, we would never harm them, but they would be thinking it in the back of their mind. It's like a very, it's a very funny scene. I'm not doing it justice, but the implication piece is not good in any kind of power dynamic situation.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the point I'm trying to say.
I agree.
Also, the end of that scene was them, like, it's not, they're both saying that it's a bad thing, the implication of them getting murdered if they don't have sex with them.
Right, right.
Anyways, yeah.
Okay. So anyways, Shane, it's unresolved. It's up in the air. It's bad. It's, we don't know what's going on with Jimmy. We don't know what's going on with Shane. Leah's in there trying to help Richard. It's not good. It's not good. Not a good look for anybody at this point. So.
No. And everyone could die. Everyone could die at any moment.
Everyone could die. And then they just have, 12 more seasons of nothing. For 12 years after this episode, it is an hour of a blank screen. Everyone could die.
The ratings are off the chart in this episode
of
Grey's.
People love it.
It's like that art that sold for $1 million, the banana on the wall. Just a bit. Well, I guess that's more than what Grey's is offering for the next 12 seasons.
So, okay. Well, do you have anything else about Shane?
I guess we can kind of tie Shane into Christina and Meredith, because the opening scene, Christina's doing this press conference. She's clearly not doing well. We find out later that she is uneasy about the whole press conference because Nathan lived, but she doesn't know why. She doesn't know why. Yeah.
She doesn't know what she says it's worked. Like hitting the side of a TV.
Yeah.
And then it works. You're like, I don't know.
Metaphor. Yeah.
And that of course pisses Meredith off. And also too.
But Shane jumps in and yells, home run. It was a home run.
Oh, yeah. Everything's great. This kid's amazing. Like, he's going to live forever. She's invented immortality, blah, blah, blah. And it's really good.
I almost just spit my water out. I almost just
Shane is overstepping. Meredith is, I guess bitter might be the right word. Bitter. Meredith is having conflicting emotions, which obviously like all get talked out later. Christina tells Shane, get off my service, get some sleep. He's going to burn out. He's like, nah, bruh. And then, later on, Owen comes in and is like, hey, we need a picture of the printer. And Meredith's like, oh, cool. Where do you want me? And he's like, ooh, not for you. It's for Christina. And it's awkward. And then when they're in getting their dress fitting, Shane bursts in and is like, you're going to get nominated for a Harper Avery. What was your thought?
Pretty insane. Mm-hmm. Also, I think I might have missed that. So he submitted her for Harper Avery?
No. He said he got an email from Harper Avery Foundation asking for all the files on the case because she's going to be nominated and they need all this information.
Wow. Yeah, I must have missed that when I was talking through my reaction at some point. Maybe I was so focused on Shane walking in and doing all that I missed, because I knew there was something about Harper Avery, but I thought I understood it as him submitting her for it. Mm-hmm. So wow, crazy. I'm real time having a reaction of oh shit.
Yeah, and obviously, and again, Meredith's there.
Burke won a Harper Avery
after he left.
For what? Yeah. For what was it?
I don't remember. Something with hearts.
Something about Harpers and Averys.
And hearts.
Crazy. Good for her. The way that they wrote Christina as a character long ago kind of like created this foreshadowing that it would make sense for her to win a Harper Avery. Because she was doing so much of the work for Burke while his hand was still healing. Sucks that she got that news in the middle of a fight with Meredith.
Yeah. There's a lot to unpack with this fight. Because what's happening is Christina has said something that has hurt Meredith's feeling about her profession. And Meredith's response is, I will say things that will hurt you as a human being. You are a bad person. Oh, and it's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Do you have any of the receipts on those back and forth exchanges that you think are worth specifically calling out? Because it is, I will say, The first one, if I remember correctly, so they're talking and I think Christina kind of comes at it.
So it starts when it starts chill when Christina's like, I don't know how to describe what it is that I've done. Like, I don't know, like why this kid's okay. And Meredith's like, wow, you're right. We are in two different places. And she says, I may overreach and I may have something to prove, but I will never be as arrogant as you. And that's when Christina's like, I'm fucking done with this. And she goes, you know what, Meredith? Go to hell. I have listened to your crap for weeks now and I'm not going to stand here and take it anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm on her side with that one because, again, like,
for sure,
she's basically
for sure
just name calling. Like,
yeah,
it's,
I was like, okay, it seems like Christina's kind of going at this from like a humble place. And that, I think, shit, the fact that Christina went into that conversation and said, I don't know, Meredith. Like,
yeah, I'm she's being honest. Like, this is that aspect is like a before all of this conversation. Like, that's when she is like, I don't know, like, what I did, and I feel like a fraud. And but she's like, but I had to just try it anyways. And then Meredith's reaction just being like, well, you're the worst. I can't believe you're so arrogant. It's like, you're so arrogant. You should have let that baby die instead. What? Like, Meredith, what the heck? Yeah. And so, I mean, and to Christina's point, she has basically not stood up for herself in a lot of these conversations since the first one. And so, you know, obviously we saw Shane do it on her behalf, which I did not like, but this is, she's right. She says, I've listened to your crap for weeks now. I'm not going to take it anymore. So it's just like, I'm on her side at that point, you know,
yeah,
shut up, Meredith.
Absolutely.
Like, I understand that Meredith is hurt, but like, she is not processing.
No. Round one goes to Christina. What was the second interaction?
The second one is, it cuts back in there. And Christina says, tell me how you can give 100% to your family and 100% for your job. It is categorically impossible. And Meredith's like, because you're screwing with my research. And Christina says, Mayor, my bar and your printer has nothing to do with your dead sheep. Did you ever think maybe your research is failing all on its own? And Meredith goes, right, because I'm a terrible doctor. No, I never said that. You said, I never said that, but you said I was a terrible person over and over because I don't agree with you, because I'm committed to my work, because I don't want a baby. When did I become such a monster to you? And that's when Shane comes in. That's when he says that he got the email from Harper Avery and they want the case study and the patient status because she's in consideration for the award. And then it cuts out again. And so I would say that one also would go to Christina because before Shane comes in, Meredith's like, I never said that you're a bad doctor, but you have said I am a terrible person over and over again because I don't agree with you and I want different things in life. Which
yeah,
is a fair
and
point.
I also, I do think I want to, as, and please, like, you also chime in on this as a parent, but you know, I think you can give 100% of yourself to your job and 100% of yourself to your family. It just ebbs and flows on what 100% means. Like, I give every ounce of what I have as a professional when I'm at work. And when I'm at home, I give 100% every ounce of what I have to my family.
Yeah, I think the main distinction is, if you don't have the family, you only have to give to work. So you just have more to, there's not even like, you don't even have, like, there are times when they basically say Christina hasn't even left the hospital for days. That's just something that likely is not happening for people who are parenting or in like a different type of caregiver situation. And so to me, that's kind of where I'm like, I feel like the 100% thing is on a different level. Like, I just don't know that it's the best example or the best explanation for it, because it's more just like, you, there's literally nothing else in your life. That's all you're doing is work, and that's just not likely going to happen for someone in a different type of family situation.
Yeah, so I think the different way that Christina could articulate that is, because Meredith is giving 100% to being a surgeon and 100% to being a parent, Christina's giving 100% of every single second of every single day of her entire life to being a surgeon. Those two statements are different things.
Well, I also think that I don't know that Meredith is giving 100%, because when she first comes back from maternity leave, there are times when she's like distracted and she's not focused on like that whole episode. Like Christina, again, I didn't think that way she did it was right, but I think she was right. Meredith was not like ready to do that surgery. She did not have like, she was not focused enough to do that surgery. So in that scenario, like she was distracted because of her family or by her family. And I'm not saying that she wouldn't have been distracted by something else if she didn't have a family. Who's to say? That's possible. I have had days where I'm working and I am distracting because I'm getting calls or texts about my kids. Like I've been on work calls and gotten texts or messages from Scarlett's school. That's distracting. I'm still doing my work, but like there is a distraction. I'm just not going to say that like there's, it's right or wrong. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's just like you adapt and you learn how to like exist in that reality. Also, my job is not a surgeon. So like me being on a phone call, like with a couple or with a venue is not comparable to me being like, I do need to keep this person alive. And if I sneeze wrong, they'll die.
Yeah, totally.
I do. I just think you can have it all, but you have to figure out how to do that in a way that is like works for you and your family and your career. And at this point, what Meredith has done with like her, the conversation with Derek and like what they're moving, you know, what the plan is with her focusing on research and him stepping back. Like, I think that really creates an environment for her to be able to give as much as she possibly can to her work. And I think that is like a very healthy and supportive thing that has been happening until Barack Obama is allegedly getting involved.
Good times. So let's go. Let's take a capitalism break in honor of Barack Obama, and we'll go to the rest of this episode to take us home. We'll be right back. And we are back. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So right.
So anyways, round that's three.
So round three.
I love it. You have a great opinion.
Thanks so much. It's also correct. Meredith says, I can compete as a mother and as a surgeon. You just don't think I can compete against you. You can't, because Meredith, this is all I do. This is all I want to do. So don't whine to me because you made a decision you regret now. You think I regret my family? I think you feel left behind and that sucks for you, but no one forced you out of the game. I'm not out of the game. I just won't sabotage my friends to win it. Oh, is that what I do? That's what sharks do. You called it our first day. Well, as I recall, I was talking about you. Meredith says, how long have you been sleeping with Shane? And Christina's like, and she goes, he blushes at an exposed ankle. He saw you in your underwear and didn't bat an eye. That is none of your business. And Meredith said, you don't have to justify it to me. He's just hooking up with the best teacher to make sure he gets everything he can. It's what you did all through med school and all through intern year. Congratulations, you've become the thing you worship. And Christina says, and you became the thing we laughed at, which is mean. I would have given it to Christina if she didn't say that. I do think that's a little bit too far.
I agree. It was all pretty truthful up until that point. I think this round's got to go to Meredith on a technicality, not because she won it, but because Christina lost it.
Yeah, because it's just like there's productivity and then there's just being mean. And Meredith has spent a lot of this season and a lot of this disagreement over the course of several episodes just being mean. And she is being mean here, but Christina is meaner in a less productive way.
Yeah. Yeah. I also like that Christina did not say a single thing to the sleeping with Shane part.
Yeah.
Like, you're boning Shane like, and she doesn't have any comeback. Yeah.
She's like, how the fuck would she have known that? So, anyways, the next one occurs in the room with April. And Christina's late. She comes in and April's like, oh, I knew you'd make it. After just being like, I knew Christina was going to forget. And Christina comes in. Oh my God, I knew you'd make it.
It's giving
so funny.
It's giving the dinosaur ride.
Yeah. So true. RIP. Okay. So then she's like, April's like, okay, so we're going to do this. And if you guys can just like hold this and then fluff my thing and then hold my bouquet, which she shouldn't have to give them that direction. They should be good bridesmaids and just know it. Anyways, beyond the point. Christina says, how dare you say I haven't changed? I don't have to justify my choices to you, not one. How dare you say I am the same person that I was when we got here before I knew Burke and Owen and you? Your life looks different because it's filled with houses and husbands and kids. And mine looks the same, but I'm not. I've changed. I am doing this alone. And that's just as hard as what you're doing. But I thought I would at least have you. And that's just like a moment of sincerity and vulnerability that really, I think, shifts everything. Because then Meredith is like, you know what? If she's going to be vulnerable, I can also be vulnerable. So she finally starts being honest with both Christina and herself. And she said, I'm so jealous of you. I want to set things on fire. You did what I tried to do and I couldn't. And you don't even know how you did it. You have nothing but time and focus. You're not who we were when we got here. You're who we both set out to be. And Christina says, and you've become something we never saw coming. You are as good as a mother as you are a surgeon, and I am happy for you, but we are growing apart. Meredith says, I know, and I don't want to compete with you, but I do because we're supposed to push each other and make each other better forever since the day we met, right? And Christina says, right. And Meredith says, okay. And Christina said, God, I'm so glad because... And then April is just... cuts in and she's like, today is not the day. And I love the delivery when she goes, you two, super neat. Like, so funny. So she's like, it's super good. Great that you are like resolving your bullshit. But like today, for the love of God, can you make this about me? You stop talking about adultery. It's my day. Everyone make me feel special. Everyone fluff me up. Everyone hand me things and tell me not to cry and tell me I look pretty and shut up. And they're all like, okay. And I love that.
Yeah, it was the exact scene we needed to... I think Grays does a good job in making some of the really intense stuff still have like a brevity to it. It's one of the things I always loved about Scrubs. Like, you could have a really intense thing going on, but there's still like this easiness to it. Now, granted, we'll still have episodes like Gary Clark, Lexi, and Mark. But look at Mark. Like, Mark died, and the next episode he came back, and he's like, Torres, what's up? Right. Finger gun points, right? Like, there's this intense, like, multiple episode culmination of Meredith and Christina, and we still get April going, cool, I'm getting married. And none of you know this yet, but Jackson's going to fuck it all up, okay?
Yeah.
So can make this about me,
fun,
please?
Because it's about to not be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, great delivery, great scene. And finally some closure, finally some honesty and vulnerability between the two of them.
Yeah. So that's nice. And then... then they go about their day. So really quick, we kind of have some things with Derek that kind of tie in with Callie in Arizona. So Derek and Callie are still working on their trial. It's moving forward. There's progress. And all of a sudden these guys come from this like White House initiative on brain mapping and they want to talk to Derek. And Derek's like, I don't want to talk to them. And Callie's like, you can't talk to them. He's like, I don't want to talk to them. And Owen's like, you have to talk to these people for the love of God. And so Derek goes in and he's Derek about it. He has Bailey with him and he's like, shh, it's okay. Don't cry. Don't fuss. And he's like, yeah, I'll hear your little presentation. I don't want your money.
I'll hear your timeshare presentation.
I don't want your money. I'll let you say your little piece and I'll like nod and smile. Good for you. You did some science. And then, but he can't help himself. And he's like, the way you're looking at this is wrong. And he kind of explains what they worked through last episode where it's like, it's not about just doing this thing. It's about the big picture of why you're doing this thing and what makes us want to do these things and blah, 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 all this stuff. And then he leaves and Owen's like, I can't believe you would say no to them. This is your country is calling you to serve. And you say yes when your country calls you to serve. And Derek's like, you said yes because that was your calling. This is people who just want my name on a piece of paper to get the funding that they want. It's not the same, and I'm not going to do it. And I appreciate that. And I think it is true. And we shouldn't have a draft. Anyways, yeah. Then he's at the wedding. Phone rings. So rude. Hate this. Hate it. Your phone is, first of all, why is anyone's phone not on silent?
Get you know, in here. In my truth, Obama hacked his phone and said, we're going to enable all of the notification settings on this man's phone so that we can call him direct.
So he answers it, which I guess, you know, he's a doctor, whatever. He answers it and they're like, hey, there's someone online for you. Their ring can seem really important. He's like, okay. And so then they go, is this Derek Shepherd? Yeah. Okay, please hold for the president. What? Please hold for the president. And then it cuts very quickly away. Like 2 minutes. I'm like 1 minute away. I'm like, what could Barack Obama have possibly said that quickly to you?
Something very good. Something very impressive and eloquent and articulate.
A full
and
sentence
genius.
That means something.
Yeah. Also, I want to call back to the scene where he's with Bailey and they're looking at this presentation, this timeshare pitch, and they're like, we put this number on a piece of paper, check it out. And he's like, no. And they're all like, you should take a look at this number just for a phone call, maybe traveling once every couple of months. Just look at this number we're going to throw you. I would have looked at the number.
I know you would have. But you're not already sitting on millions of dollars.
That's fair. That I
That's
know
the
of.
Difference. Yet, have yet to find it.
Yep. Schrodinger's cat, am I right?
Just got to find the box.
Listen, I got a couple Pokemon card boxes that I haven't opened. Maybe that's the one.
Maybe. Fingers crossed for you. Thanks. So that's that. And then this is hand in hand with Callie being like, Derek is mine. He's not going to go work with other people. And then she also keeps saying to Arizona, like, oh, this is our research. I'm doing this for you. Like, the goal is to quote unquote fix you. And that's like hurting Arizona's feelings, but she doesn't know how to articulate that to Callie. And she kind of says it to April, but like not really well. She's like having all these emotions, but I don't think she's fully processing them because she doesn't super understand them herself. So that's what's going on with Arizona.
I actually like that scene a lot. I think she articulated it in a way that I understand. She's like, this woman found me attractive for who I am now. And Callie keeps talking about fixing me.
Yeah.
And I do think that there is a broken piece psychologically. I don't think there's a broken piece physically that needs to be fixed. But, you know, Arizona probably could do some more therapy just in general.
Yeah.
Callie too. Everyone, really.
Everyone in the world, probably, yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyways, I think that she articulated that pretty well. I understood that point.
I think she doesn't, the issue is she doesn't know how to articulate it to Callie in a way where she's because... I think also when she's talking to Aaron, or when she's talking to April rather, and she says like Callie's trying so hard to forgive me. So I think because of that, it's kind of putting Arizona in a position of not feeling like she can be fully honest about a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair.
Because what she's saying is super valid. And I totally think that like where Callie is coming from, it's like such a good place. But ultimately, like if someone's constantly being like, I'm trying to fix you, the implication is it's because you're broken, and that I don't think Arizona mentally is in that like mindset about like what happened to her. I think she's moved forward to be like, this is just like who I am, and that's fine, and like that's my reality. And so when someone's constantly being like, well, I'm going to fix you, but you also like don't think you need to be fixed, that's going to take a toll. But then to not feel like you can be like, hey, I don't need to be fixed. It's just like there's complexities to it. And again, this is where maybe a therapist for like the couples therapy would be productive because they can facilitate productive conversations like that.
Well, how long did Arizona spend blaming Callie for breaking her? Like it was like, I blame you for breaking me. So Callie's like, well, I need to fix her.
Yeah, no,
so
I understand. I definitely understand both sides. I think the issue is, yet again, as per always with the show,
therapy and
the communication piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Okay. Sidebar, should mention that guy and his wife had a stroke and it's unresolved, but he's like
He can't unconscious talk. Physically, conscious. He could talk, but it's like Derek says potentially a blood clot went to his brain. They don't know if he can even hear them. It's very sad.
Yeah. I like, you know, this is where they started with a little bit of humor. Like, he's like, oh, I got to go get this throat surgery done because I have bad breath and my muscles mm-hmm. aren't all working. And maybe I'll lose the ability to talk. So I'm going to say all the things I never could again.
A whole bunch of silliness, but then like whisper something very genuine right before he goes into surgery.
Which I'm led to believe is the song that she sings back to him later on in the episode.
Yeah. Something so something sad. Lovely and genuine and kind. And then also just the whole, like, Ben saying, like, Miranda being excited that she's going to potentially cure this man who's been through frickin' hell with all these surgeries. Yeah. And Ben being like, seems kind of like you're quitting surgery. And she's like, oh, you want to talk about quitting surgery? Maybe you tell me why you did that. And he's like, it's really good that I came here and saved you from your OCD. And she's like, think again, my guy. Think maybe it's because you came here that I had a bit of a flare up. And that's also unresolved.
Also unresolved. Yeah. And you know what is more uncomfortable? Not more uncomfortable than standing up in the middle of someone's wedding and proposing your love for them while they're about to get married to someone else. But also very uncomfortable is being in a fight at a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can't even put your arms around the person that you love and you're married to and enjoy love and love. Uncomfortable. So sad. Okay. I don't know if there's anything else that we missed. I did not take any notes for this, so I'm going to defer to you, partner.
Okay. Well, I have some Discord questions.
Okay.
If Grace Sloan had HR, would Owen be dragged there for asking / telling everyone he sees to go to April's wedding and also his speech to Derek? I think the speech to Derek is problematic. I think just asking if they're going is fine. Demanding that they go, not so much.
Yeah, correct. There's no HR violations to encourage them to go if they've been invited. Like, hey, you were invited to April's wedding. Make sure you go to her wedding. That's good. Mm-hmm. Like, I've approved your time off. Do it. Okay, not HR violation. Saying, I will fire you if you don't go to this wedding. That's a threat. That's retaliation. You know, bad HR violation. I don't think that's an HR violation to have Derek to give his opinion on. If you're president and your country call on you, then you're called to serve. You do. Like, no, it's poor advice. It's not applicable, but not HR.
How annoyed on a scale of 1 to 1,000 is Kelsey and Carmen, but mostly Kelsey, about Derek's moment with the government people? He's being a cute dad, but he's so smug. It does bother me. It's very Derek Shepherd. It's very condescending in like a, oh, you poor little people, let me help you with all of my brilliance. But it's very Derek, you know, it's just on brand. It is what it is. I've accepted it. The commitment in this moment to, you know, his promise to Meredith, I appreciate. You know, he's got Bailey. He's telling these people no. He's, I don't give a shit about how much your money is. I don't care about the money. I will listen and I will give you advice for free. But I am Derek Shepherd and I will be a jackass about it. But in like a polite way.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, if I'm on a scale of 1 to 1,000, I'm at a 1. Didn't feel annoyed with that scene at all. In fact, I enjoyed that scene a lot. I enjoyed Derek in that scene a lot.
Of course you did.
Where are you at? 1 to 1,000. What's your number?
Well, like, I'm probably on average 1 to 1,000 sitting at like a 750 with my distaste for that man.
Wow! That is absurdly high for an average.
Like Derek Shepherd. There's not enough Derek. I'm just here to change minds and hearts. He's condescending. I gotta tell you,
we've been doing 10 seasons of this, and I sit around a 1 and spike up to 1,000. I don't think I have anything in between. It's like I'm at a 1 until he does something that annoys me. Mm-hmm. Boom, 1,000. Good. Then he stays there. He stays at 1,000 until he does a nice thing. Then he's at a 1 again. Then he stays at a 1 until he does. It's like, you know.
No. I don't have a positive. I don't start at a positive with Derek ever.
That's how I feel about Owen. And that's the only person on the
show. That's also how I feel about Owen. It's not specific only to Derek. I have enough room in my heart to hate all of these men. Don't worry about it.
I was concerned.
I knew you were. Okay. So if you were going into a surgery where there was a chance you may never speak again, what would your last words be before you go in? I don't like this question because it makes me have anxiety to think about this reality. I don't know. But it's also one thing to be like, oh, I might never be able to talk, but still have the ability to communicate versus what has happened to this man where he cannot even communicate anymore. Because if I can still communicate, like, it will be an adjustment. It will be really hard. I would hate it. However, it would have to be. But like still having the ability to communicate would be preferable, obviously, to not even being able to communicate or like hear people at all.
Who asked this question?
Troy.
Troy. Troy, also, I owe you a message about Pokemon cards. While you were answering that question, I actually just got a little bit choked up thinking. Because all I would want to do is go, I would hope that there's enough time where I could like record every thought that I've had, like in a room, like about my wife, about my daughter, about my friends. I would want to be very intentional with that because if there's a, if like, I know, someone who's gone through vocal cord surgery and it's scary. It's scary stuff. So yeah, that's like very emotional to think about because the way that we communicate is so intimate and it's through language. It's what makes people people in a lot of ways, our ability to articulate thoughts and feelings and emotions that separates us from, you know, tardigrades. So it's just, I don't know. That's like very emotional. That's like a tough, that's a very hard question to think about.
Yes, I don't really have an answer.
But I would
probably
make sure
something
to have it recorded
not
one
profound.
Last.
I would probably be having an anxiety. I would probably need to be sedated because I would be freaking out. And that would be
the boring. Last thing I would say to you would be, fuck you. Yeah.
Who would you have chosen as your bridesmaids? April's sisters. Definitely not April's sisters. Arizona, Meredith, and Christina. For me would be preferable because it feels like there's at least a level of respect that like her sisters don't have.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
I don't agreed. Think that her sisters being there would have made the day better. I think it would have made it difficult in a different way.
Yeah. I think April has the capacity to, because it's not family, to really tell mm-hmm. off Meredith and Christina and April, mm-hmm. Arizona, I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, that maybe she doesn't do. And she just lets that stress build over with her sisters. So I'm glad it wasn't her sisters.
Is there a responsibility towards the OR staff to realize there are only 2 second year residents in a pretty big surgery and call an attending at least to verify that this is supposed to be happening before they cut open a patient? I genuinely don't know logistically how that would work. There are multiple people that try to stop them. They try to say like, oh, are you really sure? Because I guess logistically the chain of command is that like the doctor is in charge, but I also don't know if like they're technically doctors yet. You know what I mean? Like, do you have to complete the residency to be a like, I don't know from that standpoint, like where they rank in it. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily the responsibility. I definitely think they're doing the right thing by questioning, like, is this, because they do let people do solo surgeries. I don't know, man.
I did a quick Google search, and it does say that medical interns are considered doctors and that they have earned their medical degree, MD, but they are not considered fully independent or fully functioning physicians in the same manner as an attending physician. Mm-hmm. So they are doctors, but they lack full licensure.
But are
in
they
the US.
Like practiced licensed physicians?
They're
in
not.
That
yeah, they're not.
Yeah,
they're licensed but not practicing.
Right.
Not an independent license. So very fine line. Yeah, I think that has to be something where the person doing the scheduling, that's where HR maybe should have checked to approve the time off requests. So yeah, there should have been a backup plan there.
At what point did Steph know her relationship with Jackson was done?
When he stood up the first time.
Yeah, when he said, I'm sorry, or when he stood up and then awkwardly sat back down, or when he made his declaration to April. I'm going to say when he stood up the first time, because he could have been saying, I'm sorry, and then just like ripped a really bad toot. I'm so serious, because I'm not going to pretend that hasn't happened in my life.
Yeah, no, we all...
There are
we
different
all
reasons
have those
people apologize. Toots. Sometimes it's because you're going to stand up at a wedding. Sometimes it's because your secret wife has shown up. Sometimes it's because you're tooting.
And all three of those are equally bad.
Exactly the same.
Yep. They're all the same severity. So do whatever one you please. Just don't do all three of them. Don't do more than one. You get one. So if you've ripped a bad toot, you don't ever get to... stand up and ruin someone's wedding. But if you've already stood up and ruined someone's wedding, you don't get to rip bad
toots. No more toots. No more toots. Mm-mm. Was this a kind of a good Leah episode after realizing with Joe she needs to move on? Because she did advocate for herself with learning to Bailey and wasn't afraid to go get Weber to help Ross. I think, yes. I think she has some crash outs, but she also realizes her bullshit. And she does stand up for herself when it comes to her education, and she also is the one that finally pulls in someone who can bring Shane back down to reality.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. She had a rough start, but she ended strong. Yeah, mm-hmm, agree. Yeah.
In Jackson and April's first interaction at the top of the episode, did either of you get any indication that April was second-guessing her decision or that Jackson was yearning for her?
No. And in fact, I haven't gotten any indication from April since the unless you give me a reason not to scene. So I thought that we've moved on.
Yep. Will Mayor and Christina's friendship make it?
Yes. They finally yes. They're good. They're fine.
Do you think anyone takes this wedding day seriously? No. Not in a way I want them to.
Yeah, agreed. I agreed on that one. Well, April takes it pretty seriously.
I
minus
don't
the fact
think
that she went
she's taking
hospital.
It seriously enough, I'm going to be honest with you.
In she
the,
went
like,
out and forced
prep
Meredith
it.
And
like,
Christina to
my
get-
thing is, I'm like, you need a planner or a coordinator because that should be their job. Going out and finding them should be that person's job. It shouldn't be April's job. Obviously, they're not going to do that because of plot. But predictions for Alex with Shane when he finds out about what he did with Jimmy.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to be much. What I think is going to happen. It's going to be worse when everyone finds out about Shane's involvement with Heather. And then HR should have a backlog of IT support tickets on timestamps that he's changed his hours.
Yeah, that's talk about HR.
Yeah, and he might. Yeah, I think that those are more important things. Like, man, got to have an M&M conversation around... Shane and the Jimmy of it all, but I don't know. I mean, Alex is like, I think is pretty resolute on the outside of it's not his family, it's just a guy. Maybe he'll be sad, but like Shane and his involvement with Jimmy dying. Well, I guess at the end they're doing the paddles,
yeah,
right?
They're still
like,
working
he's
on
still
him.
Technically trying to save him. I don't think that Alex, I mean, maybe he'll be a little bit upset, but not, I don't know, not throwing fists.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk through some other predictions then.
Well, should we rate this first?
Yeah, we can rate it first. Go for it.
I think it's an easy five. It's an easy five.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say it's a five. I think it's like a 4.9. I don't know why. I can't articulate why. It's just not a five for me. It is a big deal. I'll say that much. It's a memorable one.
Yeah.
It's iconic.
No, this is an easy five for me. Like,
well, I'm glad that we got your reaction. I can't wait to see it. So, I mean, big prediction first, April and Jackson and Matthew and Steph.
Can I be honest? I don't care. I think I'm so annoyed at the fact that Jackson ruined the wedding that actually I don't get, whatever happens. They better fucking end up together or Jackson has to leave the show. And you know what? That's my prediction. It's one of two things. Either Jackson and April are now getting married and having babies, or Jackson leaves the show because you can't go back to work after that. If you do your grand gesture and it doesn't work out, you've now pissed off and ruined your relationship with Steph forever. And you've ruined April's life because you've ruined her wedding. Even if she ends up marrying Matthew, you've ruined her wedding.
Yeah. I love that.
So I just don't care. That's my official prediction. I think they'll end up together. Poor Matthew. This guy's got to move away. If she says yes to Jackson, he's got to move to Florida. Like, this guy has got to leave across diagonally the way that as far away as possible.
Okay, so then let's talk Derek and Obama.
Derek's taking it. When your country calls, when the Obama calls you, you have to take it.
What's that going to look like for Derek and Meredith?
No idea.
Because we didn't call out. She does even pull him aside and she's like, I just want to say thank you so much. Because I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing without you doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's like, yeah, absolutely. I'm amazing. I got you. Ramping down, babe.
And then
he's gonna take the Obama job. You gotta take the Obama job.
And okay, Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy's dead. Jimmy's toast.
Okay, so
whoever's gonna try to save him, but Jimmy's toast.
I don't know. I mean, Alex and Joe are pretty resolved, solid. Unless you have anything to say.
Yeah, I feel good with them. I feel like Alex and Joe are our end game. I'm really shipping them hard. Meredith and Christina were good there. Throat guy, he's gonna have no recovery. Dad and kid unresolved. Maybe he'll wake up and have some sort of function. I don't know. Ben and Bailey, worried about them, but I think they're gonna be fine too. I do think we should also have mentioned that Christina gave a lingering look to Owen at one point during the wedding.
Didn't care for that.
Yep. No prediction there. I don't even want to give that the dignity of a prediction. So I think that's all I got. And Weber, it's good to see Weber back. Yeah. Weber seems to be doing fine.
So real.
You know, good for him.
Anything
talk
with
about
Shane,
the president, am I right?
Shane and Christina.
Shane, I don't even know. I have no idea. That guy needs therapy and 48 hours of sleep. Yeah, the energy drinks, you gotta take care of yourself. This is not good.
I think that might be it. Is there anything else you can think of? Arizona and Cali?
I think they'll be fine. I think they've survived through the toughest part of their relationship. They're good. They just gotta Arizona just has to articulate her feelings to Callie. They got to do some couples counseling. Right. And actually, I predict they will do couples counseling.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think that's it. So a little bit longer for these two episodes, guys, but thanks for sticking around while we ramble and then also, you know, process everything. Keep an eye out for those reaction videos. Those will go up on the Instagrams and the TikToks at some point. Make sure you're just sharing and following, and then also follow because we will be updating whatever our schedule changes are looking like for the next couple of weeks since I'm traveling. We'll update that on Instagram, but we appreciate the patience and we love you guys so much. So just keep telling people about us and make sure you leave all the reviews and go to Grey's Academy Pod, and you can find all of our socials, and you can email greysacademypod@gmail.com. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, just remember,
no spoilies. We appreciate you all so much, and we will see you all in the next one.